Welcome to Crosspoint.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
We are an inclusive faith community
seeking to live out the loving, just, and generous way of Jesus.
We are participants in a long tradition
that's less concerned with doctrines and dogma that demand total agreement,
but a life to be lived, enjoyed, and given away to others.
What unites us is a growing awareness that life is precious,
that we are made by love in order to love.
This community is comprised of and affirms the entire human family,
regardless of race, age, creed,
physical abilities, marital or economic status,
gender identity, or sexual orientation.
So, if you are curious and have come to see,
if you are tired and have come to rest,
if you are grateful and have come to share,
if you are wounded and have come to heal,
if you are joyful and have come to celebrate,
if you are uprooted and have come to belong,
welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Hey, Crosspoint. Today is a unique Sunday. I don't have a typical sermon or teaching for you today, but as we mentioned last week and via email to everyone earlier in the week, I want to take some time today and remind us about who we are as a community and why it matters. Talk about a challenge that we're facing, and then I want to talk to you about a significant new endeavor we're going to embark on as a church. So, this is your first time here watching online or listening to the podcast. While these kinds of Sundays don't happen often, I tend to think it can be helpful to hear and understand right up front who we are and what we're about as a church. It's been a couple years since we revisited our values on a Sunday morning, and so that seems like a good place to start today. You can find these on our About page on our website. It goes like this. While acknowledging that all of these values are best discussed in respectful, nuanced conversations within a community that chooses to believe the best about one another's intentions, we are a faith community who fully affirms the equality and participation of the entire human family, regardless of race, age, creed, physical abilities, marital or economic status, gender identity, or sexual orientation. As necessary, take sides when issues of human equality and justice are at stake. Seeks to be rooted in the teachings and tradition of Jesus, while also being gladly willing to learn from the wisdom of other faith traditions. Discusses honestly the collection of sacred literature in the Bible within all its various genres and historical, cultural, literary context, and tries to find our stories and the stories preserved there. Believes that Jesus' core teaching of love your neighbor as yourself should be the core of all we do. Compassionately accepts that we've all been shaped by different belief traditions and contexts, and that we must provide safe spaces for each of us to embark on a journey of growth while also not tolerating the promotion of toxic theological ideas that measurably harm others. Rejects in our teaching the idea of eternal bodily torture in a place called hell, as it is counter to love and remarkably never is found in Jesus' teachings. Doesn't align with partisan politics, but will actively speak out and work against injustices and systems that oppress people and creation. Values music and artful expressions as ways to both inspire and challenge our normal paradigms and help us emotionally connect with all and with each other. Embraces science as a tool of discovering truth and for adding rather than taking away from our sense of wonder. Believes that curiosity, questions, and doubts are all necessary in an authentic faith journey. Humbly and thoughtfully changes its mind with better understanding, knowing that doing so carefully and with grace is far better for us all than the stubborn refusal to see things anew. So those are the values that guide us. And I want to be really clear. I'm incredibly proud of who we are together. I think it matters. I think us being us makes a difference. For example, recently someone wrote us a kind Google review where they said this: I don't consider myself a Christian, but I like going to this place because it exudes and talks about all the awesomeness of Jesus, radical love, accepting everyone for who they are, helping those in need. And they stay away from all the things I don't like about a lot of churches: finger pointing, judging, not accepting people who are different. I often leave their services feeling better than when I came in. Appreciate this place. It's tough to get a better compliment than that from someone. I mean, someone who doesn't consider themselves a Christian essentially says, I like being a part of this church community and feel better when I'm there because it exudes and talks about the awesomeness of Jesus, loves people the way Jesus modeled, and doesn't involve itself with toxic religious practices that harm people. Friends, it just doesn't get much better than that, honestly, from a review standpoint. And I hope you notice the feedback there is about the entire community. It's not focused on any one individual who's on a stage or someone with an instrument or someone with the microphone and their particular style. It's just focused on the community, who we are, what we do together, and how we show up in the world. And Crosspoint, each of you are a part of what makes this church community what it is and how we show up in the world together. For instance, just to give you a few snapshots, just recently, I took this picture out at our community garden where it shows that we've donated 800 pounds of food through our garden to the White Oak Food Pantry to help make sure people that need food in our local area have food. Then because of our work with the food pantry and our partnership in helping local families in need at Christmas and our collective work on affordable housing with them, the director of the White Oak Foundation, Reverend Charles Tyner Sr., very kindly presented Crosspoint with their Executive Director's Award recently for what they recognized as distinguished service to the entire local community. Then, this upcoming Tuesday night, Habitat for Humanity has asked us to join them in speaking at the town Apex Town Council meeting to help advocate for 1,100 long-term local residents living in manufactured mobile homes that are at risk for being displaced without any plans to relocate them or help them. I know several Crosspoint people who are already planning on showing up to the meeting to find out ways to lend their support that night. Furthermore, just this past week, as we do many weeks, we were able to pay people's rent and keep them from being evicted. We regularly have people who are able to show up in crisis moments and in hospitals to care for people in frightening or grief-stricken situations. People who rally together to provide meals and offer other tangible support so that they can feel a little less overwhelmed by whatever circumstances life is throwing at them. We have people who gather online in different continents around the globe, who huddle up with a handful of others and watch our services week in and week out and participate in online groups because they have no other faith communities nearby where they can feel safe. We have parents who drive their teenagers 45 minutes to an hour away to be a part of what we're doing here because their student feels safe, loved, and included here. Speaking of kids, our staff recently received an email from our director of elementary kids, Chelsea Foshi, as she was recapping what was happening with kids on a Sunday morning. I'm going to read the whole email for you just because I think it's worth all of us hearing. She writes this. I had the privilege of telling the story of Mary Magdalene and Jesus' friendship to our K through third graders today. One of my favorite things is getting to listen to them and is getting to step into the role of being the teacher or really the guider as we listen to and learn a story together. One of our goals in Kids Point is to make sure there is lots of space to question and wonder and make observations. We try to put ourselves in the stories as well as help develop further understanding and practice empathy and compassion. We were reading the passage about Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene after he died and rose again, and we wondered why John and Peter left when they saw the tomb was empty. The kids thought different things, like that they thought that probably they probably went to look for Jesus' body, or that they were tired after seeing Jesus died and needed to go rest, because she says apparently the disciples needed naps too, smiley face. One kid raised his hand and said, I think it could be that grown-ups don't always like to feel sad in front of other people. So I think John and Peter wanted to weep like Mary, but wanted to do that by themselves. Oof. We also wondered why Jesus decided to show himself to Mary, but he could have picked anyone or any group of people. We talked through the idea that he may have wanted to comfort his friend after seeing her grief. We also thought that this was a way for us readers to see that God values using all people, including women, in a time where men's leadership were valued above women's. One kindergartner was especially shocked to hear that men were considered more important than women. She says, "What the heck is right, sister?" One kiddo decided that Jesus picked Mary to show himself to because Mary Magdalene shared the same first name as his mom, Mary. And Mary Magdalene reminded Jesus of his mom, and that's who he would want to see most after dying. These are 6, 7, 8-year-olds' ideas and thoughts and interpretations of this story. We talked through the many emotions Mary must have had, wondered what the angels actually looked like. Do they have halos, wings, both? Do they glow? Was Jesus naked? Because, hello, the Bible says the cloths he was wrapped in were lying on the table. We shared giggles and conversation and focused on the theme of good friendship. These kids inspire me each week, especially when I get to have the front row to their ideas and questions. I hope sharing these stories reminds you of the work we are doing collectively. You know, I read that email the first time a couple weeks ago, and I just found myself getting a bit emotional because I was like, man, I am so glad these kids are getting invited into such a healthy approach to the Bible here at Crosspoint, where they're invited to question and wrestle with the stories. They're invited to share their own thoughts and ideas. And man, we're all, kids and adults alike, so much better for it when they do. And our children's staff, just so you know, they're writing their own curriculum now and have been for a while because there just aren't resources out there that take this type of approach. And it's one of the questions we get asked most often from other like-minded churches. If we can help them find ways to create resources, if we could create more of our resources to help them. One of the largest church curriculum creators for kids in the nation recently invited our student pastor, Jennifer Tuttle, into a conversation to offer feedback on the curriculum and why we had moved away from using it in recent years. She asked me if I thought she should go to that meeting, and I said, yes. I mean, we're not pointing fingers at them and calling them out. They're inviting you in to give them feedback, so lean into it. And she was obviously kind and respectful, but she was also direct. And one of the things she offered that has continued to stick with me is she said, I think we have to take an honest look about how churches and their curriculum continue to lift up and celebrate with their kids ancient stories of divine violence in the Old Testament without any context, without any nuance, without any questioning, and then wonder why there is an increase of young people and adults feeling justified by God to commit violence themselves, and in their minds, in this defense of God. And I was like, absolutely. Because how we teach matters, and it matters directly to people's lives and how people get treated in the world. Last week, I was having a conversation with someone in our church, and they were telling me about how they've become the safe person for God questions in many of their circles, in their family, with friends, at work, on social media, where when people are wrestling, if it's okay to be honest about their questions about faith and God, they're the one they reach out to. And they said, I just want you to know, that's because of Crosspoint. This community, they said, has transformed my life and my family's life, the way we think, the way we see people, the way we see God, and we're so much healthier for it. And the reason we become that safe place is because of Crosspoint. And then he offered this last bit of encouragement when he said, Crosspoint is having an impact on many more people's lives than any of us can really know. And I don't think I had considered that aspect of who we are together before. I mean, I hear similar stories a lot. Many of you are those same safe people for others in your life, and that is such a gift. But I don't think I had taken the time to connect the dots to the role that all of us together as Crosspoint plays in that ripple effect. All of that to say, who we are and what we're doing in the world is unique. It's important, and it matters. Pastor in another state who follows us online reached out to me recently and asked, do the people at Crosspoint understand how unique and special you guys are as a church? How rare you are in the world right now and how much it's needed? And my answer was, no, I don't think so. And if I try and tell them, I don't think they really get it, because it can kind of feel like when you're a kid and your parents tell you how funny or cool or good looking you are, and you just kind of roll your eyes because you're like, they have to say that, they're my parents. And it can kind of feel like that. And so it's a bit weird, and I get it. But who we are together and how we show up in the world is making a difference, and a bigger difference than most any of us realize. Which brings me to a challenge that we're facing as a church community right now, and it has to do with finances. Now, I'll say up front, I don't like talking about finances. If you've been here a while, you know that about me. And it's because we've all seen a long history of some church leaders manipulating people in regards to money, using guilt, using Bible verses out of their context, using fear and threat to get people to give. And then we see some of those TV preachers who are funding their massive mansions and private jets, and it makes our stomachs turn. Now, that's not the majority of church leaders. It's really not. But it's the stories that we often hear. And so in my mind, I'd prefer to stay as far away from any of those associations as possible. And so it's more comfortable not to talk about money much at all. And yet, we're a completely independent, non-denominational church and nonprofit that functions solely off the financial contributions from those of us who choose to contribute money to Crosspoint. That's just the reality. There's no denominational headquarters paying any bills, nobody else but us. just those of us who participate in and believe in who we are together as a church and believe it matters. So therefore, we all have to push through the awkwardness and talk about it for a moment. And my default has always been just to share this kind of thing with everyone, not hold special separate meetings for certain people, but just kind of lay it all out there for anyone who associates, participates, and cares about Crosspoint. Here's the thing. All the data all across the country backs this up. It's way easier for churches to raise money and get funded when it's presented as you giving money is a sign of your commitment and devotion to God and to the Bible. And by giving money, you're doing all that you can to keep people from burning in hell forever. After all, what more important thing could you spend your money on? And not only that, you'll receive some type of future material blessing back in return because, as the rhetoric goes, you can't outgive God. Now, that's a summary of the different approaches, but it usually falls into one of those categories. And when you think about that logically, that kind of motivational strategy can certainly be compelling. And the thing is, for many churches who take this approach, it's not them being dishonest. It's really not. It lines up with the way they see faith and God, and I get it. But for a church like ours, who doesn't approach faith this way, where in all honesty, there's no way we can reconcile a Jesus who says everything about God's heart can be summed up by love your neighbor as yourself, even your enemies. And then that same Jesus doesn't live out his own core teaching and value to the point where he would torture people forever that he would deem as enemies because they came to different conclusions about faith for whatever reason. We can't reconcile that. That would be a completely different Jesus, and frankly, not someone whose character is worth trusting. And the thing is, we don't believe the way of Jesus operates with guilt, manipulation, fear, or threat. Jesus models a way centered around love. And one relational truth that exists is, for any of us, you can either love people or try to control people. You can't do both. You have to pick one. And things like guilt, manipulation, fear, and threat are all tools to try to control people. Yet, for people that want to see church communities like ours thrive in the world, ones that focus on things like radical love, inclusion, equality, gender, racial and economic justice, generosity, honestly wrestling with the Bible and inviting conversation around it, the cultural stereotype is the folks participating in these kinds of things prefer to give hugs, not funds. That's kind of the joke, the stereotype. And the thing is, that's a stereotype for a reason. But some of it is also appropriate skepticism, based on what a lot of us have seen or experienced in our past. And I get that, I really do. But there also comes a point where we accept, if we experience and recognize the value of this community, then if we're able, we fund it. Now, to be clear, we've countered that stereotype as a church for years now. And as a result, Crosspoint, and I hear this on a regular basis, our church existing and doing what we do gives hope to a lot of others that a different, better, healthier way forward is possible for faith communities like ours. So I want to make sure that's really clear. But what's also as clear is for about a year now, we've struggled to keep up from a budget perspective. And even though our attendance has remained steady since we came back in person after the pandemic, our financial contributions have steadily decreased. About a year ago, I shared with everyone when the gap between our budget and income had reached about 30%, and many of you responded, and by the start of the new year, we had closed that gap to 3%, which was awesome. But then steadily over the past 9 months, that gap increased again. And so we did what wise people do in those moments. All of our leaders made cuts to live within our means. We came into a new fiscal year in August, and we made cuts again to the budget to get as thin as we could at the time. But after 1.5 months, we're already about 25% behind in terms of income to budget. For context sake, to fund all that we currently do, our budget is right around $29,000 a week as a community. Now, here's the thing. By no means is this me hitting the panic button. Our leaders and our board have done a great job through the years, making cuts when needed and putting money away in savings that can carry us through shortfalls when they occur. But this has been a consistent trend for about a year, and so we can't ignore reality. We have to face it and collectively make some decisions. And so we laid out a plan recently to all of our leaders and said, okay, here's the steps. Number one, I'm going to share with everyone today where things stand and give the community a chance to respond. Throughout Crosspoint's 27 years of existence, Crosspoint has had a long history of responding when asked to. So that's where we'll start. That's what part of today is. And then two, we'll reevaluate things and the status of things in January and make sure, just like any family budget has to do, that we're operating within our means. And all of us as leaders will make decisions from there, even if they're hard decisions and decisions we prefer not to make around staffing. We'll look at all the options and make decisions from there. So with all that said, as plainly as I can, to those of you who already fund Crosspoint on a consistent basis, thank you. It's what fuels everything that happens to this community. Now, if you're able and want to contribute more, please do. If you don't contribute financially, and you're able and willing to, and you get something out of this church community, and you believe in the work that we collectively do, that it matters in the world, I'm asking you that you would help to fund it. And to be clear, I'm definitely not asking you to put giving to Crosspoint above any of your own basic needs. Sincerely, not asking that, never would ask you that. Again, this is if you're able and willing, and you think this community has value and is worth it. Personally, I think it's worth it. To have a community that exists where we can be a part of the kind of stories I just shared earlier and get to tackle significant and important work together that has ripple effects far beyond us, I think it's worth it. And as many painful stories some of us have heard our experience with churches in our past, I still don't know of another organization, when it's healthy, that can help people in so many different, holistic, and profound ways. As the author Richard Rohr says, the best criticism of the bad is the practice of the better. And I want us to be about practicing the better. And I think we are. And here's the thing. When all of us who are willing and able do what we can to fund this community, that will tell us the budget we need to operate within. No guilt, no manipulation. That's just the reality. And we as Crosspoint will find a way to operate within that reality. That's what we've always done and what we will continue to do. And collectively, we've never really lined up with typical stereotypes about churches. And so I'm hopeful. I get asked the question a lot. The last time was just 2 weeks ago. Someone asked, how does Crosspoint even exist? I mean, it really doesn't even make sense. Because to be who we are as a church, who we were 20 years ago, ambiguous on a lot of justice and inclusion issues, and then make the changes we started making about a decade ago and get really clear on those things and take some really important stands, for the handful of churches that have tried it, most of them don't ever survive. Crosspoint, we really are a unicorn in that sense. And every time I'm asked that question, I say, when they ask, how is this possible? Every time I say, there's a community of people who decided that Crosspoint was worth fighting for. They believed in what we could do and what we could be together, and they were willing to fund it. That's it. That's the story. And it's a story I'm really honored to be a part of with you all. And so, with the rest of my time, I want to share with you about another exciting chapter in the story we're going to be embarking on as a church and how it came about. And before I get into it, I just want to make it clear, there's no financial campaign associated with it, with what I want to talk with you about. I don't want you to be bracing yourself the whole time while I'm talking. I've said what I'm going to say about money already. So everybody, we can just exhale a bit. But it was about a year and a half ago, I found myself sitting at a table with several people, and one of them happened to be a woman named Diana Butler Bass. Some of you may have heard of her. She's an American historian on Christianity, the author of 11 books, some of which we've done in groups here at Crosspoint through the years, and a widely respected voice on religion and spirituality. And she's someone who aligns with a lot of who we are as a church. I'd never met her before, but we were sitting across from one another at this kind of long table, and at one point she kindly introduced herself and we started talking. Eventually, that led her into asking questions about Crosspoint, and I started sharing a bit about who we are and what we do together. And then a couple other people sitting at this table, they started chiming in and saying some really kind things about Crosspoint and how even though they lived in different states, this community had been a really major beacon of hope to them in so many ways. And so at one point, Diana looks at me and says, why have I never heard about Crosspoint before? I mean, this church sounds incredible. It sounds really rare. Like, how come I've never heard of it before? And I replied, well, that's really humbling of you to say. And I don't know. I think we've just kind of kept our head down. I mean, we went through a lot in the last decade together when we got really clear about our values. And there were a lot of pastors and churches and churchgoers tried labeling us as dangerous and heretics because of our stances on inclusion. So we just kind of kept our head down for a while. And we ended up talking for a bit. And toward the end of the night, she locked eyes with me, put her palms on the table in front of me and said, I'd really like for you as a church to consider coming out of hiding. I think who you are and what you're doing together is so unique and important. I find myself sitting with a lot of 70, 80-year-old people in more liturgical spaces like in Episcopalian churches. And when they think about non-denominational churches, most everything they hear or see feels like a lot of yelling and a lot of oppressive views around women, around race, around sexuality. And since those are often the loudest voices, they're losing a lot of hope for the future of faith conversations. And I really do think Crosspoint could potentially play a key role in helping to bring people together across various spectrums. Because there's way more people in the world who think like we do than we assume, but everyone feels isolated and alone. So I hope your church will consider helping because I think it's significant work. I sat there for a moment trying to process, and those words still are very much ingrained in my mind because her words and her tone were tender, but they were firm. And what I said in return was, again, that's really kind of you. Thank you. For what it's worth, I don't think we've been hiding. We've been keeping our head down, and I think there's a difference, but still, thank you. And all I can say is we'll definitely consider it if there's ways we can be helpful in bringing isolated people together. So I come back and I share that conversation with our board and our staff, primarily as a means of encouragement, because there was no additional concrete ideas in front of us, and so we just carried on with what we were already doing. About 6 months later, some of you may remember, we had a wonderful preacher and psychologist and professor come to teach at Crosspoint named Dr. Shaniqua Walker Barnes. While she was here in town, she and I got to spend a couple hours together. And toward the end of our conversation, she said, you know, here's the reality. Right now in our culture, the voices, platforms, and faith organizations that lead with fear and threat, that are systematically trying to exclude and devalue certain people, the reality is they're very well-funded, very organized, very strategic, and very intentional. We see it every day in our culture. But the voices, platforms, and faith organizations that are trying to push against that are trying to lead with love, a passion for justice and peacemaking, the reality is they are not well-funded, they're not organized, they're not very strategic, and they're not very intentional. Everyone feels pretty isolated and alone. And then she said, I'm wondering if Crosspoint could consider helping with that. And helping all these people not feel so isolated and alone and finding ways to bring people together to do more good and have a more influential voice in the world. So I took that in for a moment because I have so much respect for Dr. Walker Barnes and simply said, thank you. That's incredibly kind of you to think of our community that we could help with that. I'd say we're open to helping any way we can, but we just don't know what that looks like right now. We're listening, we're open. And yet for now, we'll just keep trying to do the best we can with what's right in front of us. So in a similar way as before, I shared this conversation with our board and our other leaders. And there's a collective sense that it felt like something was in the air, but again, we weren't sure what, if anything, that could actually be. Still, what was clear was that there was still plenty of important things right in front of us. So we just kept doing what we were doing. Fast forward a couple months later to January earlier this year. A woman named Sarah Bessie reached out and asked if we could talk. I'd never met or spoken with Sarah before, although I was very aware of who she was. Sarah is the author of several best-selling books, including a New York Times bestseller. She's co-founded an annual conference that we as Crosspoint have participated in previously called Evolving Faith with her dear friend and fellow author Rachel Held Evans back in 2017. And so Sarah and I ended up meeting, and ultimately she asked, would Crosspoint consider taking over the leadership of Evolving Faith? So a little context about Evolving Faith. Sarah and Rachel started Evolving Faith because they found themselves wrestling with the same ideas we've wrestled here with at Crosspoint. What if a healthy faith is one that has room to evolve and mature and believes the table we've all been invited to is way bigger than what many of us previously assumed or maybe were told? So about 7 to 8 years ago, Sarah and Rachel were both writing about these ideas and wondered if similar-minded people would enjoy gathering together and spending a couple days in the same space so they could connect with one another. They put out an invitation online, secured a retreat space here in North Carolina, and thought it would be incredibly successful if 150 people showed up. Much to their surprise, 1,500 people showed up, including a handful of Crosspoint people. And it quickly became clear to Sarah and Rachel that this shouldn't just be a one-time thing. And out of that, evolving faith was born. Sarah, Rachel, and another friend, Jim, started to dream about what an ongoing type of conference and community could look like. Not long after that, they invited our dear friend and teacher, Jeff Chu, to join them as leaders. And then suddenly and tragically, as some of you know, Rachel Held Evans passed away in 2019. They struggled with the idea of moving on without Rachel, but ultimately decided to keep the conference and the community going. Today, Evolving Faith has grown into a global community. They have sought to be known by what they're for more than what they're against. They've strived to lead with voices of love and hope in the world. A lot of people that have felt out of place are not welcomed in certain faith and religious structures, but that are still compelled by the way and life of Jesus have found a place to belong within the Evolving Faith community. Their stated mission is Evolving Faith exists to cultivate love and hope in the wilderness, pointing fellow wanderers and misfits to God as we embody resurrection for the sake of the world. Their annual conference has hosted leaders like Sarah Bessie and Jeff Chu, but also others like Brian McLaren, Will Gaffney, Winnie Varghese, Shaniqua Walker-Barnes, Barbara Brown-Taylor, Michael Curry, Jen Hatmaker, Pete Enns, Joyce Del Rosario, Kate Bowler, Nadia Bowles-Weber, Amita Brown, Tanya Barlow, Danya Ruttenberg, and dozens more. Some of you may be familiar with some of those names. Many of you may not be. But they're all authors and teachers and leaders who share and are trying to advocate for similar values in the world as Crosspoint. Numbers-wise, they have more than 12,000 people in their online community from over a dozen different countries. About 20,000 people subscribe to their email list. They have about 60,000 social media followers and a podcast that has been downloaded over a million times and thousands who attend their annual conference. And so when Sarah reached out, she expressed that for a while, she had been experiencing an unmistakable draw towards a quieter season of life within her own family. She and her husband, Brian, have 4 kids still at home, and she wanted to be more present for them, as well as focus more on her primary vocation as a writer. But she cared deeply for the Evolving Faith community and wanted it to be in the hands of people who shared similar values and who would help shepherd and care for the people within it now and those who may find it in the future. She had heard about Crosspoint through her close friendship with Jeff Chu, and I guess Jeff had some very kind things to say about all of us. And so that's what prompted her to reach out, and it's what started the conversation. So there were some natural hesitancies with myself and our leaders as we started to sit with this and try to discern if this was something we wanted to step into. We're not a community that says yes to every opportunity. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We say no to a lot. And we knew if we stepped into this, it would bring more attention on our community. And yes, that could increase our ability to do more good in the world, but it also comes with the shadow side of opening ourselves up to more criticism. And I think that could make anybody pause. And yet, personally, I couldn't shake the conversations over the past 1.5 years, specifically the ones with Shaniqua Walker-Barnes and Diana Butler-Bass. And the repeated theme I've heard from people with similar hearts as ours for really the past decade of people feeling isolated and alone and disillusioned with the louder and louder voices that seem to be hijacking our faith tradition and weaponizing it against people for the sake of power and control. And wishing and hoping some group of people would step up in a broader way to do something about it, to bring these healthier voices together. But then over time it became, what if rather than continuing to wish and hope for other people to step up and do something, what if we just determined, okay, we'll give it a shot. Again, this wasn't an opportunity we sought after or went looking for, but we couldn't ignore the seemingly sacred echoes that had been occurring in recent years. And it finally became, we're being asked to help. And if there's even a possibility that we could potentially help, then it's worth trying. So ultimately, our collection of leaders on our board and our staff said yes. Therefore, Evolving Faith has now moved from a for-profit organization and come under the nonprofit status of Crosspoint, which will open up the potential for different grants and foundations to hopefully partner with it. From a business organizational perspective, we'll operate it as its own unique entity. The organization will remain Evolving Faith, and it will operate as a DBA or a doing business as under the nonprofit banner of Crosspoint. It will have its own separate bank account, and Evolving Faith will continue to operate as it does now with the income it receives from ticket sales to their annual conference. And to be clear, regarding the earlier discussions about money, $0 of Crosspoint's operating budget has gone toward evolving faith. Crosspoint's board started planning a few years ago, during the pandemic, to put a small percentage of our savings aside, earmarked for future unknown initiatives, so that if an opportunity presented itself that we felt like we wanted or needed to say yes to, then we didn't want the only obstacle to be that we couldn't afford it in the current budget. And so we'll use that bit of money that's already been set aside in a separate bank account to help with the operations of Evolving Faith, which right now is just mostly their subscriptions to things like their website, their online community platform, their podcast hosting, etc., until Evolving Faith brings in its own income and can reimburse those funds. Now, thankfully, this is something we have experience with in the past. As some of you know, we've operated multiple nonprofits and DBAs in the past when we designed, funded, and built the YMCA here on Crosspoint's campus. And so in many ways, this just seems like a natural extension of the story we've been a part of for a long time now as a church. Some 14 years ago, when we had a hunch that partnerships and linking arms with other organizations seemed like a better, healthier, and more effective way forward, we had no idea what was ahead of us with building a YMCA. What we were attempting to do was something that had never been done before by a church, where we would raise the money, design and build a YMCA for the whole community. And we did it for a lot of reasons, but one of the main driving forces was that there were all these homes going up in our area, but there weren't many places for people to gather. We saw hundreds of kids hanging out in the grocery store parking lot because there was no other place for them to go. And we didn't want to just build a bigger church building or a church community center, because we knew that that would be an obstacle for people of different faith traditions or no faith traditions at all to feel comfortable, feel like that they had a place to belong. But we knew a YMCA wouldn't have those same obstacles. It was something our local area needed. But the YMCA didn't have a pathway on its own to getting in this area. And at the time, we had no idea how to secure millions of dollars in funding. We had no idea how to design and build a YMCA and continue to do what we do as Crosspoint every day. But together, this community figured it out. And even though it's the youngest of all the YMCAs in the Triangle, our YMCA now has more members than any other YMCA in the Triangle and serves more kids and teenagers than any YMCA in the nation. I mean, that is wild to think about. And that's a huge credit to the staff of the YMCA here and all that they do. But it's also a credit to all of us together at Crosspoint and our choosing to participate in something far bigger than ourselves that made sure there was a place for anyone to belong. And so as we've reflected on this, in many ways, our partnership with Evolving Faith seems like an appropriate next chapter to our story. Where again, with the why, we were trying to find a way to build bridges in our community and make sure those local in our area had a place to belong. But now we're going to try to take that same heart and extend the borders a lot wider and try to make sure that people who have felt isolated or unwelcome in a faith community, perhaps because of their honest selves or honest questions, know that they have a seat at the table. They belong. And we can try to unite more common voices together for good in the world. And the thing is, when it came to the why, we had no idea how to build a why. But when it comes to Evolving Faith and what they do, we know how to do tons of this. We do it already. We've created online experiences for people. We've created in-person events for people. We've partnered with others. Now it's just partnering with even more leaders and artists to see that happen. And maybe, just maybe, we can help with what Dr. Walker Barnes said and help unite more common voices in the world together at a time when it's desperately needed. And even if we can't, at least we can say we didn't stay still out of fear when the opportunity was presented to us and wait around for someone else to do it. But we tried. And that's the kind of story I want us to be a part of in the world. I hope you do too. So there you go. I know that's a ton of information today. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a couple action items, okay? One, in terms of this news about Evolving Faith, I'm going to ask that you sit on it for the next 24 hours. Don't share anything publicly about it or post or comment about it on any social media platform. Sarah Bessie is going to share this news to the Evolving Faith community tomorrow, Monday, September 23rd. And I want to make sure we honor Sarah well and the entire community of Evolving Faith well by making sure they hear this news first from her and from her heart. Also, this transition and official transfer of ownership has only happened in the past month, and so it's all still pretty new, and we're just beginning to get our arms wrapped around it. Obviously, when we become aware of opportunities and ways to help, if you're interested in that, we'll definitely let you know. We're going to need it. Think of it just kind of like any new ministry or program that we're launching. We'll definitely keep you in the loop. But in the meantime, if you have questions, always feel free to ask. And then lastly, if you're willing and able to contribute financially to Crosspoint, the easiest way to do that is just to go to crosspoint.org and click on the contribute link. You'll find a variety of ways to contribute there, whether through card, check, wire, PayPal, text, stocks, whatever's easiest for you. You can make a one-time contribution there, or you can set up recurring contributions. For what it's worth, that's what our family does, because we prefer it to be automated like most of our bills. And frankly, it's helpful to Crosspoint because it helps us better anticipate income and budget more accurately. But again, whether it's a one-time contribution or a recurring one, all that helps Crosspoint do what we do together. And if you have any questions about finances, feel free to ask. The easiest way is to email finance@crosspoint.org. And just for clarity's sake, if you're new around here, we have a volunteer board of Crosspoint members here who have full access to the complete accounting of every penny donated to Crosspoint. Additionally, the accounting is all reviewed quarterly by an independent auditor, and the Crosspoint board also approves the budget we operate within. Myself or any other staff member doesn't have the ability to just spend money however we want. In fact, the board has the ability to let me go anytime they want. I just say all that because sometimes churches are set up where the lead pastor or senior pastor has all this unchecked control. I just want to make sure it's clear that this is absolutely not the case here at Crosspoint. And I get that may be a weird place to wrap things up with, but in a way, I hope it puts an emphasis on that this community that we're a part of, that it's not just something we consume from, but it's something we all participate in to make it what it is. Crosspoint, I'm honored to be a part of this story with you. Thanks for your time today. You're loved.
If you would like to know more or get connected to Crosspoint, go to crosspoint.org. If you're in need of care or assistance, go to crosspoint.org/care. And welcome home.